This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Bay Area, it's Keith Santos here. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 957 The Game. Hey Dibs, your pigs stink.
No, you laughed over the best part. Let me play it one more time for you.
I'm so sorry, that was too funny.
Hold on, here
it
comes.
My bad.
Bay Area, it's Keith Santos here. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 957 The Game. Hey Dibs, your pigs stink.
He liked it. He liked the copy.
Your pigs stink.
Yeah, man.
And we're going to get another one tonight.
Yeah, pig is in. Look forward to that. Yeah.
Your pigs stink.
It's Guy Santo. Singular.
Bay Area, it's Guy Santo here. Hey, Dibs, your pigs stink.
He loved it. Ridiculous. Oh, that's so good. That's tremendous. I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
Texans and Jets tonight.
Yep.
Thursday night football. Fade the Dibber.
Yeah, but I think 12 and 15 now. I'm three games below. So if you're fading, you're winning. So that's great.
Is it three below? I thought you were two below. Three below? Two below, Grandy? Where are we at?
You are 12 and 14.
12 and 14.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, or maybe, there you go. Maybe you're predicting that you will get tonight wrong.
Well,
I think is what just
the
happened.
The pick is already in. Okay. And I won't go too deep into the pick right now. I'll save it for a little
okay.
bit later.
I think the Jets are favored by two. Can we get the
two
updated?
And a half. Yeah.
Is it up to 2.5?
Yep, that's
okay.
What I saw.
Jets are favored by 2.5. We'll see if that's on the move. Listen, if you listen to our silly little show here, Willard and Dibs, all week long, if you've been listening, and then again today and tomorrow, between 5 and 5:30, you might find yourself in Vegas. So that's pretty cool. Listen between 5 and 5:30 today for your chance to win two tickets to the Scorpions March 6th show at PH Live at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. You also get a two-night stay at Planet Hollywood and round-trip airfare for two. In other words, you're going to have a great weekend. And it's all courtesy of us here at Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. We're going to give you a code word between 5 and 5:30. And then all you have to do is text that word to 20357. And you're entered into the contest, as you have been the last 3 days. Again today, again tomorrow.
Poof. Yep. 1 of 5, we'll get those tickets, that trip. Scorpions.
Love it.
Hotel, flight, Vegas. Pretty cool.
All of it. So, just a question, okay? Just a question. And Pods is going to be here in about 12 minutes. I don't get it, though. And I don't even know how many Warrior fans know this. Do y'all know that Sacramento just thinks Buddy Hield is a fool? They think he's not a heel. Like, they just... Sacramento's fan base does not like Buddy Hield. And I would love some clarification. I don't get it. How could you? And I know I've only seen him for 5 games. But what's not to like? Do you have any idea where that comes from? The Sacramento fan base, as adorable as they are, has this thing that Buddy is either a low IQ player or just a gunner who doesn't make enough of them. You know, when I saw the stat that over the last 5 years of NBA basketball, Steph Curry was second in made threes, and first was, I'm sorry, Buddy Hield? Really? So we haven't gotten to know him well enough to know about all the decisions or the defense and the intricacies and does he play winning basketball. But my gosh, Steve keeps talking about how infectious he is, and I certainly see that, and I feel that. His teammates seem to love it. I think he's like leading the league in saying the right thing in front of microphones. He's literally the one who's just like, Steph, Dre, and Steve Kerr are here. They tell me what to do, I do it. They know what they're doing, I don't, compared to them. Perfect. Boy, you're going to fit in around here real nice if you say things like that and knock down threes when you shoot them. Do you get it? I don't get it. How can you not like Buddy Hield?
Well, it's easy to say after five games and what we've seen of Buddy Hield. So we can take our feelings aside. I'm just looking at, you know, what I see from the numbers. And all he does in his career is just play every day, for one. And I don't mean like every day, like he's going to play 70. He's played 82 twice. He played 72 the year that there was only 72. Okay. And he played 84 last year. 84, which might be the all-time high.
Should be.
In a season.
Yeah.
Because he got traded, and he didn't miss a day, and he got traded, and the next day he played for his new team. So he's a guy who shows up. And I look at his Sacramento numbers, and they're very much commensurate with his overall career. 40% three-point shooter. Doesn't shoot it a ton. He shoots it a lot, but he makes it a lot. He plays every single day. He scores. He's not a great defender, and he's a little bit, I don't want to say aloof as a negative, but he's a little different. He's a little goofy.
Like, how do you see it?
Like, his personality is just a little bit different. I think Buddy's a little bit of a different cat. I think he's cut from his own cloth, and he fits here because he's very lighthearted. All we've heard from Steve Kerr and others is, this guy's a breath of fresh air.
Totally.
He comes in here, just wants the ball, and he shoots it great, and he plays hard. And even the other night, two nights ago, where at halftime, Reggie Miller goes up to him and says, shoot the blanking ball.
Yep.
And he's like, thanks, Reg.
All right.
And he goes on and starts shooting the ball, and he lights and it up.
A bunch of them went in.
Right. So I don't know what Sacramento fans would say. I'm not a Sacramento fan. I do think that being a Sacramento fan before the last couple of years, your default is always negative because you haven't had the success. And so you see a guy who maybe shoots a lot and doesn't play great defense, and they weren't playing winning basketball when he was there in 2017 and 2018 and the rest of it. So maybe that's partly why he was the pincushion for them.
By the way, really quick, most games played in a single regular season, Walt Bellamy, 88, in 68-69.
How the hell is that even possible?
I don't know. You get traded or something?
Yeah, but 88? Like, how does some team you get traded to have six more games left than the other team?
Well, that was back when you would play, like, four games in four nights.
Correct.
So maybe he got dealt from one team to the other right as they were set to play one of those, like, six games and seven night stretches.
It almost feels like he played a day game and got traded and played that night or something like that. I mean,
yeah, no doubt.
That's pretty wild.
88. Thank you, Grandy. That's crazy.
That's unbelievable.
He played with the Knicks and the Pistons that year.
Okay.
53 games with the Pistons, 35 with the Knicks.
That's a lot of games.
That's stuff to do.
That's a lot of games. And he used to walk from one city to the other in between games, too.
And it was uphill both ways.
Yeah, both ways.
Buddy Hield, career playoff games, the total is four. And all four of those were last year with Philadelphia. So when he was in Sacramento, they made zero playoff appearances.
Well, you're probably tapping into what's going on here, which was that he was a lottery pick and the expectations. This is something that, you know, we've talked about it a lot more now because of Brock Purdy. Like, but this is not new. The idea of draftism can go both ways. Like, you're drafted late, so it takes a while for people to accept that you're actually good. Or you're drafted early, and so even if you're good but not great, that's held around your neck. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You see guys have a really good career, but they were drafted third overall. And you're like, no, that's good enough for, like, 16th overall, but not good enough for third overall. And where was Buddy, by the way?
Number six
overall. So the Kings put franchise hopes around Buddy Hield. I don't think he's that kind of player. He's not a one. And so maybe. I'm just guessing. Maybe that's why they feel the way they do about him.
Well, the Pelicans drafted him, and the Kings traded DeMarcus Cousins.
Traded right away, right?
To the Pelicans for Buddy Hield. So Buddy immediately, you know, came over and became – a Sacramento King as a part of the DeMarcus Cousins deal. He actually played for the Pelicans, I'm sorry, 57 games.
He did.
Sacramento got him at the deadline in that first year.
Got it. Interesting. Okay, RJ in Napa's on the phone, says he's a lifelong Kings fan. Hey, RJ, thanks for calling.
Hello, gentlemen. Yeah, so you guys have hit on some of the points. Basically, he was sandwiched around, his arrival was sandwiched around many, many, many failed lottery picks like Jimmer Fredette, Marvin Bagley, all these guys, Tyreke Evans, unfortunately, that they were billed as like these superstars and these saviors and this and that. He was just one in a very long line of guys where we couldn't figure out why the team was not good despite drafting in the top 5 to 10 every year for about 13 years. So that was part of it, which is the draftism, which I don't necessarily think is fair. Another big part of it, and I think a lot of this is just his maturity as a player, what you're seeing now, but he was the king of the, no pun intended, he was the king of like the taking the three-pointer from 25 feet with 21 seconds left on the shot clock, that kind of thing. And then with our apathetic and non-existent rebounders and that kind of thing. So I think it was just, he was a prime example of a guy that we brought in the era of futility. But you're right, the high points, I actually always liked Buddy, to tell you the truth, because of exactly what you said. He always played hard. You never felt he was dogging it. He just kind of had this sort of like airhead quality to him, I guess you could say, where just not an understanding of like the flow of the game or whatever. And there was no accountability on the Kings coaching staff. Like, he was by kind of default one of our best players, so he played a ton of minutes, and he would never be pulled out because there wasn't anything better on the bench. So I kind of read this situation as, after he's been traded a couple of times, maybe he realizes this is his latest and greatest and maybe last shot at a winner. So that's what I got, you guys. Great question. Thank you.
Yeah, RJ. Thanks. And I wonder also if it's just time and space. Like, he is exactly what the Warriors want him to be right now. They want someone to come in, right, and don't hesitate. Fire up threes, maybe in the, how long has he been in the league? 8 years? 7 years?
He started in 2017. So,
okay,
yeah.
7 years. So maybe in that period of time, the thought process of a three-point shooter has changed a little bit. The league each year is just like, yeah, gun, more threes, more, yep, threes. Maybe that has something to do with it. But, Dibs, I don't know, to RJ's point, he brings up a lot of draft picks that were worse than Buddy, but I feel like they don't get the vitriol that he does from that fan base.
Well, I do think it's because of where he fell in the lineage of picks. It's Buddy's ninth year, and he's been traded four times. Yep. But what you said, I think, is most appropriate to right now. He's on a team that needs him to be Buddy Hield. We need you to come in here and shoot every chance you possibly get. And I think that fits who he is.
It's just kind of like Wiggins is what you're making me think of, where they're like, you're not as good as the number one overall pick. And the Warriors are like, come be our four.
Yeah.
Come be our fourth option. And he's like, cool, I can do that. We're brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. And guess what, kids and campers? Brendan Pajemski joins us next on Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune
I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Flaring off a screen, Waters. Waters, chest pass to Moody. Moody fakes, drives right to the paint, swings it back to Pajemski. A corner three is money. Kovar cash, and this game is tied. It is only the second tie of the night.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
13 points, 7 assists, 8 rebounds. He almost messed around and got a triple-double last night.
Yeah, almost.
Whew. And he's kind enough to join us right now after the 104-89 victory over the Pelicans last night in a 4-1 start. Joining us here on the River Islands guest line on Willard and Dibbs is none other than Brandon Pajemski. Hey, Pods, how you doing?
Good, guys. How are you guys?
We're good, man. That's the last time you're going to ask Coach to review a play, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Can you take us through that exchange and that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Jordan Hawkins on the right wing, and I hit the ball off his either his leg or his hand, and went off him. But the ref said, "It's their ball," and I just looked to our bench and kind of animated, wanted us to challenge. But I didn't remember that we didn't have a challenge left because of the Draymond challenge, and so. Not really sure, honestly, why I got the tech, because I wasn't really talking to the ref at all. But it is what it is.
Yeah, they would probably say for the demonstrative reaction, but Mark and I were talking about how you as a second-year player probably not getting the same amount of rope as a veteran like Draymond would get with the same reaction. But dwelling more on the positive 4-1 start, what do you think about the way the team overall has played so far through 5 games?
It's been good. I think our only downfall has been our turnovers offensively. I think defensively we've been very solid, holding teams, you know, between 90 and 110 points. I think in every game so far, almost. And I think it's just been good to have some new coaches around, some new players around. All of us gel really well together and are kind of on the same page and want one thing, which is a championship.
Brandon, what does it mean to you guys to bank some early wins without Steph?
Definitely a confidence booster. And also, it's good to, I would say it's a blessing in disguise to have him out, because if you kind of wait till middle of the year and now he's out, I think it kind of becomes confusing, like, hey, which players are expected to do what? And I think since it was so early in the season, just being a couple games in, everyone's just kind of playing free out there. And the next man up just stepped up and we just kind of played and there wasn't any expectation. And so I think it's helped us. It's going to help us when, if he's out again, we kind of know what we're doing. And so I think it's a blessing in disguise, but we always want to step out there.
Of course. And fans want him out there as well, but fans also thrilled that you guys are 4-1 and a couple of those without Steph Curry. How do you approach the game rather when Steph's out? Does it change the way you go about playing, or do you just stick to what Pods does?
My mentality definitely switches for sure. A lot more aggressive. I think whether that's good or it's bad that I don't have that mentality when he's out there, I don't know. But I think all the little things that you see, the rebounding, the diving on the floor, playing defense, I think that's whether he's in the lineup or he's not. But I think looking kind of for my own shot and for my teammates more, I think when he's out is something that I do, just because, you know, a lot of times he has the ball, and so when he's not out there, someone else has to do it. But I think it's a good experience for me. Obviously, I'm going to be still playing by the time he's retired, so someone's going to have to do it at some point in a Warriors uniform, and so I think I'm perfectly suited for it.
Brandon, how much longer you got to wear the mask?
Through this road trip, and then it should be off when Clay comes to town, November 12th.
And maybe you, I know you've addressed it a little bit already, but I wonder if you could tell our audience kind of how it affects you.
Yeah, I think it's it's more so my depth perception close up. It has nothing to do with my shooting or anything like that. It's more so getting into the paint, my peripherals, being able to see my teammates on layups, having to see the rim. Because usually I'm just accustomed to just looking up with my eyes instead of having to lift my whole head. And if I just do that, I see the blurry mask. And so that's probably been the toughest part. Even yesterday, I knew it was bad when they had missed a shot and I went to grab a rebound and jump up. And I tried to grab it, and the ball hit my face before my hands did. And so I was like, that's kind of weird. and I mean, I still got the ball, but I was like, is my depth perception, my hand-eye coordination that bad? But that's probably where it affects me most. So being able to have that off soon and being able to kind of see every which way, which I'm accustomed to having, is going to be a blessing.
Yeah, a blessing, but it feels like, I'm not to jinx it, but it might be somewhat temporary because of the way you go about playing. Does it make you pause at all with the way you play? Because you throw your body all over the place like a crash test dummy out there.
No, I don't think so. You know, whether I have the mask on or I don't, I think I'm always going to play the same way. I don't really, you know, ever go into a game thinking like, oh, I don't want to get hit in my face, or I don't want to get hit. Like, I just don't kind of have that mindset. And so I just went it off just solely for the fact on offense that I can help my team be better.
Brandon Pajemski is with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Hey, Pods, you know, Draymond's name came up earlier in this conversation. He said something super interesting on the post game last night. To the effect of really turning over a new leaf and wanting to be different around officials, and maybe I wonder, different around you guys. Do you see a different Draymond this year, and how would you describe it?
100%. Definitely a big swing from last year to this year. He's done a great job being a leader, both in practice, in the locker room, during games, in halftime, during timeouts, all kind of things that the old Draymond before last year was bringing to the team. And he's been great. And I think just to see him, how he handles the officials and stuff like that now, how that's changed has been super impressive. And it's led to, you know, the officials giving him more calls. Obviously, he's 4 out of 5 with his challenges this year, which is pretty good. But it's just been impactful, I know, for our young guys still. To see what he brings to the table and what he's providing for us on a daily basis from a motivational standpoint and also a skill standpoint. You know, it's been incredible to see.
And what's the locker room vibe been like? Not to talk about, you know, last year versus this year, but just in general, the culture and the climate. You guys were 6-0 in the preseason. Now you're 4-1, and I know those games don't count for the standings, but the winning feeling has got to carry over, right?
It sure does. And it's just a bunch of high energy, high life guys that just care about winning. And it's easy to say, you know, when you're winning, but even after the Clippers loss, the feeling that we had from last year to this year, I think it was very different. Obviously everybody's upset that we had lost to the Clippers, but you could just feel that it was different than a loss last year. And we understood what we could have done better. And it was our turnovers against the Clippers. It wasn't our defense. Our defense was good enough to win that game. But I think everyone just brings a winning mindset. And, you know, you look at guys like Kyle, who against New Orleans, not yesterday, but the day before, went 0 for 9, but had 5 steals and was a plus 10 or something in the plus minus. And it's just little things like that you don't need to score to impact winning. We have a bunch of guys like that.
Pods, you guys are clearly focused on defense, and so far it looks so much better. To what do you attribute that?
I would say Jerry Stackhouse. I think everybody's buy-in, combination of those two things. You know, I think the beautiful part about Jerry is he played in the NBA. He was a good defender in his own right. He was a college head coach. And so him bringing what he's learned and experienced through, you know, whatever level that may be at, has been really good. And I think because he's had experience in the NBA, guys like Steph and Draymond have kind of accepted what he brings and entrust him to a degree. And I think what I said yesterday in my post-game press conference, that he's dumbed it down so much that he eliminates the gray area in defense. And obviously in basketball, there's a bunch of gray area plays. And, you know, the team that's best in those gray areas usually is one of the better teams in the league. But I think he's done a great job through camp and through these first couple games that he's dumbed down our principles so much that everybody knows what we're doing. If this happens, then we're doing this. And so I think he's done a great job with that. And it allows everybody, whether you have high IQ, low IQ, no IQ, you can figure it out because it's super black and white.
And does that come from like help coverages and just general principles about, well, if this player gets beat to this side, it becomes much more of an automatic coverage as opposed to a read and react defense?
I don't think it's necessarily personnel based. Obviously before games, we will decide, like, if Zion has the ball here, what are we going to do? Like that kind of thing. But I think in general, it's just more where our help's coming from, what rotations we're making, how are we helping each other on baseline drives, what pass is the driver least likely to make, let's give that up. All those kind of things he takes into account. And like Draymond had mentioned, we have a defensive chart after every game that Jerry goes and grades and gives it back to us the next day. And so we have competitions within our individual selves of who can, you know, have the highest plus minus in terms of his defensive chart every game.
Brandon Pajemski's with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Pods, speaking of what was said after the game, did we hear you say that when you're done playing hoops, you want to play baseball?
I mean, if the opportunity presents itself and I have no things left to give with basketball and that's done with, it wouldn't hurt to try to stay active for as long as I can. But yeah, I mean, you guys know I'm a baseball player at heart, and I've always played. So to be out there and have live competition again would be something cool.
I'm looking at the scouting report right here, and it's talking about it. And I'm actually looking at video of you as a high schooler, and you know, good left-handed swing. You got a nice little curveball on the hill. Would you want to be a pitcher, first baseman, or the new Shohei Ohtani and do both, Pods?
I would want to do something similar to Ohtani where – I don't know if this is possible, but I would like to like be a closer. So pitch one inning here and there. On the days that I might pitch, I might not, play some center field, and then also hit.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I've got this right.
Get it right.
Yeah, you want to hit and play center field. You also want to be a closer, but you don't want to start any of this till you're 35 years old. Do I have that right?
I mean, whenever basketball's over.
Well, how long are you planning to play? You're doing pretty good. I don't know if you know this. You were on the old rookie team, Brandon.
Good little player.
Yeah, like you might stick and stay, you know?
No, I'm saying I might be 40. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah. Forget 35. Why are you trying to run him out, Mark? 35.
My fault, as one of your teammates once said.
Fantastic.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to tell you that you can't.
Yeah. I mean, it's there. It's there.
Okay. All right. Brandon Pajemski is with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, by the way, also, and this is just, I'm not saying I don't like it. Here's what I am saying. We notice that when players come into the league, and this is actually any pro sport, they really start to, once they get comfortable, then you start to see that self-expression coming out. So I mean this with love, Brandon. What's the plan going forward with the hair?
The plan going forward with the hair, I'm not honestly sure. It actually is funny you brought that up because I get at least 6 or 7 text messages in my DMs from random people after every game that say, let me braid your hair. Let me do this with your hair. And so it's a cool little thing. I love my hair. I know I am young, but I'm not going to have it forever.
You're not kidding.
And I'm blessed with healthy curls from my mom and my dad. And so, I don't know, I just like them. It's a part of my personality. I know a bunch of kids dressed up like me as Halloween. Mike Dunleavy, his kid at school, one of his friends was me for Halloween, and you could just see the hair. So I think it's just a staple to who I am. And when kids see me, they think of my hair, you know, right away. And so I think I'm going to keep it.
Dude, you answered my question before I asked it. I'm like, I know for sure if someone was going to dress up as a warrior for Halloween, it's going to be you because of the hair.
Yeah. A bunch of people text me pictures of their kids. Obviously, Mike sent a picture of one of his kids' friends at school. And so it's been really cool to see just the impact that my hair alone and how my play on the basketball court has impacted the community.
It's been a great impact, and I would just encourage you to not be afraid to branch out like JK, your teammate, who went with the braids, who went with the twisties, then he went to the shortcut, and now he's going blonde. So you can branch out, Brandon, and people are still going to love you.
Yeah, I think that's the beautiful thing about, the pedestal that we have as basketball players. We can kind of do things, and people are going to like it or they're not going to like it. And, it could be a trend-setting thing. And so, obviously, I'm not going to go crazy with it, but I'm just going to be, Brandon Pajemski, and that's that.
Love it. And you guys are on pace to go 66-16, so go get it done.
We will sure try.
Thanks for coming on, man. That was a blast.
Yes, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, there he is.
Pods.
That's BP, y'all.
That's right.
That's Brandon Pajemski.
And he answered it before you could even ask it. Yes, people are me for Halloween. Next question.
How cool is that?
Pretty cool.
People, little kids running around, they're like, who are you? And by the way, you want to talk about a mispronunciation sensation.
Yep.
Go to the elementary schools, find all the kids that are dressed up as Pods, and say, who are you? And find out if any of them are pronouncing it correctly.
No doubt.
Pajemski.
Yeah.
Pajemski.
Yeah, Brandon.
Pajemski.
Pajemski. Yeah,
Pajemski.
Brandon Pajemski.
I feel like
I missed an opportunity with my 2-year-old daughter because they share the same hairstyle. I've shown you pictures of my mom.
She's not Pods tonight?
She should be Pods.
What is she, by the way?
She's a pink kitty cat, which is her choice, not mine. What do you want to be? I want to be a pink kitty cat. Okay.
I'm going to give you one guess at what Jude is today. Jude is 10 years old. This is his last elementary school Halloween. He's a fifth grader.
Oh, this is the peak
year. I'm
going
to give you one. All of you, you yep. Too, Grandy, Lucas, you all get one guess at what Jude is today.
I would guess he's going to be Brock Purdy. That'd be my guess. He's going to be Brock Purdy.
I was thinking Niners as well. Off of a recent performance, I'll go George Kittle.
Okay, George Kittle. Lucas, do you have anything to say? And if you say like some USC Trojan grad, I'm going to knock you in the mouth.
No, I don't think he cares about the Trojans.
You're right.
I'll go McCaffrey with wrappings around both Achilles.
Okay.
I was going to get, amazing. If you had asked me a week ago, I would have said Nick Bosa, but I have a feeling that's off the table.
That would have been amazing, Lucas, if he had showed up with some bilateral Achilles tendonitis wrap cruising around school today.
Possibly.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I know all of you, and you all know me well, but my partner has known me the longest, and Jude is Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy today for Halloween.
There we
go.
Play the hits, and it's really good. He could have been nuanced and, gone with a Dominic Pooney,
Well, it's not
his love to the line.
He did put his own sort of stamp on this because he already had the jersey, and we own a Niner helmet, and he's got socks, and, he's got the whole thing. So we went on Amazon to find some Niner pants. And they don't really make the ones that you see them wear.
Yeah.
At least I couldn't find them. You could buy a whole uniform, but then you're buying all the stuff that we've already got. And so anyway, I did find a pair of gold football pants.
Okay.
And then his older brother has hand-me-downs. He's got black football pants. So those two options were both denied so that he could wear red 49ers sweatpants. So he is absolutely red head to toe from the bottom. So he's Brock Purdy with red pants.
And he got dressed for Halloween, and you walked over and said, those are not team-issued sweatpants. Yeah. Go take those off.
You've been fined.
Brandon Ayuk.
That's right.
Exactly. You've been fined.
I'm wearing red shorts.
Right.
And he's like, yes, I am. And so he is.
And this is like the peak year. This is
it's
like
a big year.
This is a 3-hour trick or treat when you're a fifth grader.
That's the best year because
it's a 3-hour trick or treat.
And you're still young enough to be cute and go door to door,
but
you're old enough to go do it by your damn self.
For the most part, yeah. Yeah.
Just gonna sit over there at the lovely Christie's house, maybe have a cocktail, hand out some candy, and buddy, you know where to find us when you're done.
And just check in every, whatever, 30 or 45.
That's
Let me know you're good. Yeah. With a 2-year-old, we're looking at, we're trying to make it through all 10 houses on the cul-de-sac. I don't like our chances, her chances. By the time I get home at 7, it's going to be done and dusted. But see if little Mai can make it through 10 houses.
I will tell you this.
Not 6, not 7.
Yeah, the over-under is 6.5 houses that she makes.
I'll take the under.
Yeah,
I'm going to take the under.
I'll go over cuckoosh.
That's a damn 5.
That was amazing.
Perfect, Randy.
You're at the age, and I hated this. I love Halloween.
Yep.
I don't want to be. I'm not Scrooge here. But I always offered to take the kids out trick-or-treating depending on what sporting event was on that night.
Yeah, fair.
So Abe was 3 years old when the Giants were in their first World Series. And many of you will remember this, that the Mad Bum game, that game 4 against the Texas Rangers was on Halloween. It was on Halloween.
Game 4.
The Giants are up 2-1. And game 4 is in Texas. And 21-year-old Mad Bum is toeing the rubber. And I got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And I live in Southern California. And I'm telling you, Dibs, look me in the eye, I was in agony.
Yeah.
Agony.
Well, they were 3-1.
Following these little kids around while the Giants are playing in the World Series. And they'd never won. They'd never won in my lifetime. And they're going to game 4 and throwing someone who was a teenager 1.5 years ago out on the hill. And we're going door to door. And I'm just like, please, put the Reese's in the bucket. Let's get out of here.
It puts the Reese's in the basket.
Like, let's wrap it up. When does Halloween? Son,
a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, that's a quick trip. I mean, you're not going deep into the night.
Not that quick, buddy. Not that quick.
Yeah.
And that game starts at 5 o'clock.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, it's not like I was going to miss the end, but I was going to miss the first 6 innings. And that's kind of like
the whole.
That's hell.
Yeah. I was always the home team on Halloween. I was the candy distributor. It was a distribution situation for me.
Thank you for not doing it. That was,
I didn't do it.
That, but
you can't
buzz
me.
No,
it's a pump fake.
That was an error.
You set it up.
That was Kuminga in the block.
You left your feet.
That was an error.
You left your feet.
I'm with
Grandy. We're going to need to review it.
No.
You're Brandon Podemski.
You guys just inferred right now.
It's a turnover.
It was an inference.
It's a turnover. Just take it.
I'm not taking it.
Tell me to review it. I don't care.
Yeah, totally.
Play ball.
I can't wait to ask Steve about that.
Oh, my God. That was so good.
I mean, I hope that there's a lot more of that coming because I love pods, but, dude, just play. Okay, the ball went off his leg. Now what? We're going to really review that? And they did have a challenge, pods. I don't think that they were out of challenges
at
that point.
They weren't out of challenges. They had a challenge.
Draymond's challenge came after that.
Right.
I believe on the same possession or the next possession.
Well, and if you... correct me if I'm. If you use your challenge, but it's right, do you get another one or no? What's the rule on that
in the NBA?
Yeah, do you get another one if you're right?
Kerr challenged twice yesterday. Yeah. 2 separate Draymond challenges.
Yeah, if you get it right, I don't think you're like out of challenges. That was nice of him to tell me. Oh, sorry, we didn't have a challenge.
yes, they did.
All right, look, we'll get back to your phone calls. Draymond Green says, it's a new day. Do you buy it? Do you believe him? We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And we're brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. Also want to throw this in. Jesse Sapolu is going to join us in about a half hour. But there was something else. Something else happened at a local watering hole establishment last night during the Warrior game and during the World Series that I think we need to address for a second. And so we'll do all of that coming up next. This is Willard and Dibs.
Bay Area, it's Draymond Green. And you're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day.
It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel.
Tell you what.
Blossom on the tree.
That hits pretty good. Only way that whole intro right there, Grandy, could have hit better is if you all have gotten Draymond Green to be like, hey, Dibs, your picks stink. You got a good fake laugh.
Thank you.
That was a good fake laugh. Good job.
You're welcome.
Mine's real. Anyway.
Well, he wouldn't have done that if he really had turned over a new leaf, because that would be mean-spirited, and he's not doing that anymore.
No,
it's a new leaf.
Wait a minute. No, no, no. You can still, like, poke fun.
You sure can.
Yeah.
That's not on brand with the new Draymond.
I think it is.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day. As the trumpets came in.
Yeah.
It's a new day.
And he's
for Draymond.
Feeling good.
Yeah.
And you know how dudes are. If dudes are feeling good, they're making fun of their people.
Yeah.
I like if I'm not poking fun at you, I probably don't like you that much.
There you go. Good
you
to know.
Yeah. I poke fun at you all the time.
I love it. Yeah.
And you do it back. That's what we do.
It's the back and forth.
What's wrong with that?
The give and take.
All right. I can't wait for Fade the Divers.
Oh, the pick is in.
Well, I already bet this game tonight.
Yep.
I bet this game tonight without waiting for you.
It's risky.
I saw a number. I liked the number. I went for the number before the number moved.
Yeah, I didn't move that much, though. Half a point that I saw.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll see if what you do jives with what I did, but we won't find that out yet because we're still hanging it out, talking it out with regard to a few of the Warriors' topics that are on the table. Draymond Green said this last night, NBC Sports Bay Area, talking to Fitz and Kalena, and said this.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it's a fresh start. You know, I know I had an awful year last year. It was just not right. Didn't play well, didn't act well. And, you know, I want to show the real me. I want to show the growth. You know, I talked last year about being a champion of change, arguing referees. These guys are human. They make mistakes, and I'm trying to understand that. Such an emotional game. I play, you know, one of my best attributes is playing with my emotions, and so taking that next step and learning how to play with those emotions, but knowing where to channel those is a big important step for me and something that I'm really focusing on this year.
Yeah, I'm willing to be the one who has the egg on the face. I hear that and I believe it.
Yeah, me too.
I believe him. I believe that something is different this time around, and I actually want to give credit to one of our callers earlier, Burns, who said, I think the reason this is landing, at least for some people, is the fact that Draymond's not forced into this statement right now. Normally, when Draymond is covering this topic publicly, it's because he's, you know, punched or kicked someone.
Been suspended or something, choked a guy.
Right. This came up now with a 4-1 basketball team and no problems. In fact, he's patted a ref on the arm already
this
year. Hey, buddy. All right. Thanks for the clarification.
Well,
I'm going to go down
the tech
other...
was one of the softer techs in his career. It was just a conversational tech where he had, I guess, belabored his point too much, and he got teed up, and that was the end of it.
888-957-9570. Let's go to Ivan in West Oakland. Hey, Ivan, thanks for calling.
What's up, gentlemen? Thanks for taking my call, Dibs, and Willard. It's Ivan, a.k.a. Yvonne. How you guys doing?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I just wanted to check in to let you guys know, to keep it simple, that Draymond is a product of his environment. You know, he's from Saginaw, Michigan. You know, he's blue nose. You know, like he says, where's his sleeve? His emotions on his sleeve. And, you know, he's not territorial. You know what I mean? It's like me at work. I'm territorial. I have to, you know, urinate like a four-legged animal that's a male wherever I roam, you know, because to claim, you know, dominance and whatnot and, you know, in his job, just like I do in mine. You know, sometimes you do run into an individual or somebody that, you know, rebuts, you know, that said action. And, you know, it's now it's up to him to react, you know, wisely and calmly. But, you know, that's yet to be seen if that situation may arise. You know what I'm saying? So, basically, I kind of believe him, but I don't. Because, like, you know, the old adage, you can take the person out the hood, you can't take the hood out the person. You know, not everybody's like that. But, you know, he seems to be that type.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, thank you for the call. I actually do think, to a certain degree, everybody is like that.
A product of their environment.
Yeah, I love when people are always a product of his environment. Sure, of course he is, and you're not wrong. And I also don't think that Draymond saying he's turned over a new leaf means that he's just going to, like, boy, his elbows are going to be off the table at dinner now, and, like, he's just going to, you know, please and thank you every time he speaks to a ref. I don't think that at all. I think that he's still going to be himself. This is about rounding out the edges, not making new corners. This can be a subtle adjustment for Draymond Green, which is just simply finding that thing that for a lot of us is really hard, which is when the emotional moment hits, when the trigger point hits, are you able to take a breath and then harness? Even when you're like, I'm so mad right now. But can you twist it so that that next word that comes out of your mouth to whoever you're talking to doesn't necessarily sound that way? And you can stay rational even in the midst of being frustrated.
But it's more difficult than just that for many people, and I would put he and I in the same bucket. I think we're cut from the same cloth that way, and you can talk about what you need to do and what you tried to do, and what he said yesterday with Fitz and Kalena is absolutely right. You know, he's going to try to be better, and he's understanding more about where the refs are coming from and all the rest of it, but he has to go out there and do it every single night or every chance that he gets. And I give him a lot of support, and I give him a lot of appreciation over the fact that he's acknowledging it and he's trying to make those changes. And I do think that he's a very self-reflective guy, and he looks at last year, and it was disappointing for a number of reasons, but he looks squarely at himself and says he didn't play well and he didn't act right. And so this year he wants to play better and act right. And if he does that, then the team's going to be better and they'll have a better chance of getting where he wants them to be.
I mean, I think about it even like last night, you know, right in the middle of that game. And I was doing the, like, because this is what mattered to me more. The Warrior game mattered more than the World Series.
Yeah.
So during commercials and during halftime, I'd click over, and I knew the game was coming down to the end. I saw Mookie hit the sack fly.
Oh, my God.
And the Dodgers take the lead, and then the Yankees threaten in the bottom of the eighth, and they don't score. And I'm like, okay, that internal clock is like, clock, 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 checking in just to see what happens. And literally at one point, the Warriors went to a timeout, and I went, click, over to the other game, and Bueller threw one pitch.
Yep.
And that was it.
And then click, right back to the Warrior game.
Back to totally. The Warriors.
Yep. You didn't see more than about 3 seconds of celebration.
I'm not watching those fools run around and jump on each other.
Yep.
Good for you. I'm out.
I had the same experience. By the time the catcher got out to the mound, I was like, okay, that's, you know, it's good.
It's okay.
Well,
I'm gone.
For me, the bigger takeaway was the way that the Yankees absolutely choked in the fifth inning, and I'm not afraid to call that a choke.
It was bad baseball.
When you have a ground ball to first, and the pitcher just decides to not run over and cover, that is a absolute mental gag.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you might think that the first baseman should be able to take it himself, that is 999 times out of 1,000. The pitcher runs over there. Even if you don't get there, just run to first.
Just run over there. Yeah.
And he took 2 steps and froze. And it was like, uh-oh. And then you kind of knew what was going to come after that. Freddie Freeman with a little muscle job base hit for a couple of runs, and now we got action.
See, you watch more of it than me. I'm not going over there. I'm not going into that house.
I was over there, and when I was in the car for all that, and then I got home, and it was 5-5, and it's like, all right, I'm going to 2-screen it. So I had the Warrior on the TV, and I had the game on the laptop, just because I wanted to see if the Yankees could get off the deck after that, and they couldn't. And
then, they retook the lead. They took the lead again.
Yeah, but that's a game that you absolutely have to win when you're up 5-0 at home.
I believe it was a must win, Dibs.
It was absolutely a must win. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say it got to me, but lovely Christy takes her daughter out to dinner last night to a place that's a restaurant but also has a little bar, and there are a number of TVs banked on that bar. And she reported to me that as they were dining in the midst of Game 5 of the World Series, that establishment got hot. It got energetic. People were engaged. It was loud. They were jamming in there on Game 5 of the World Series. And I know that this may sound stupid, because two brands like that in an elimination situation in the World Series versus Game 5 of the NBA season, there's no question which one's more dramatic. But I don't know about you. This is the Bay Area, and I know which one I cared about more. I cared way more about the Warriors against the Pelicans than I do about experiencing the Dodgers playing the Yankees. Because, oh, by the way, even if the Yankees win, like, that's wonderful, because I cannot stand the Dodgers, duck the Fodgers till I die. But it's not like I'm over here celebrating the idea of the Yankees winning a World Series either. I don't like them either. I don't want to see them do well either. So I get the glitz and the glamour of the whole thing. But there was a piece of me that was like, I don't know, did you guys use one of your TVs at least for the Warrior game here in San Francisco Bay Area rather than watching the Dodgers play the Yankees in the World Series and running around and acting like we're all fans all of a sudden or caring about that?
I would imagine, I don't know how many TVs are at this restaurant bar.
A small handful.
Right. So you probably had the majority of it on the baseball, and the baseball is two gigantic brands, and it's an elimination game. And Game 5 in an NBA season, if I wasn't, you know, working in this job, would I be as dialed in on the game as I was? Probably not. It's the same team you just played. It's Game 5, and you don't have Steph Curry. So if you think about it from a neutral fan or just a casual fan standpoint, that game didn't have a ton of juice. If you wanted to see Zion, you got to see him the night before. You're not going to see Steph. You just saw this matchup a day before, as opposed to this is the World Series, New York and L.A. It's a classic old-time rivalry, so I don't begrudge them for putting up the baseball game, because the baseball game was a bigger event yesterday than Game 5 of the Warriors
season. I don't begrudge them, and clearly they were right. I get that I'm in the minority here. I just know which game had my emotions. The Dodger game, like, I don't want those emotions. I'm not here to hate watch stuff. Like, that's great. The Dodgers are playing the Yankees. I hope the Yankees win. Tell me about it later. I don't want to watch Mookie Betts jump around and smile. He's a wonderful baseball player. Seems like a good guy. I hope the fans keep their hands off of him, for crying out loud.
They did, yeah.
You know, but I mean, like, that's not, I am not emotionally tied, at least positively, to either of those teams. I am emotionally tied to the Golden State Warriors. That one mattered to me way more last night. And again, I know I'm in the minority. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. And oh, by the way, home of the damn Warriors. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.